Hey y'all, welcome to Triumph Over Trauma, the podcast. Listen y'all, I created this podcast because, like so many other people, I've had a traumatic past. I didn't always realize how those things affected me negatively and how I even carried them into my adult life. And so I wanted to create a space where other people could come and we could have candid conversations on how you identify trauma, how do you navigate it, and how you recover from traumatic experiences. If this resonates with you, then join me. I am your host and trauma survivor, Ms. Eve McNair. Let's get into it.
Hey y'all, welcome back to Triumph Over Trauma. I know it's been a while, your girl been busy. I mean, between the holidays and just life and work and personal things, I just had to get away. I just had to take a moment and I couldn't juggle everything. So you know what they say, you know, you have to sometimes put something down. Anywho, I am back because I have a lot to say. It's been a while, I've been away, I've been busy, I've been preoccupied, but I've been taking notes and I've been writing stuff down. This podcast is going to be touch and go because we're gonna be touching on a few subjects today, but they're all very important. Just to catch you guys up, I had my first Triumph Over Trauma luncheon, and it was pretty much like a workshop kind of slash conference. And what we did was a group of us, I'm actually a part of another panel, a traveling panel that actually works together to spread the awareness of childhood trauma. And so a few of us from the panel, we had a mental health therapist, we had a domestic violence abuse advocate, had a chaplain, and myself, we all worked together to put on this luncheon, and we all pretty much spoke about our backgrounds, some of the traumas we've experienced, and how we have learned to triumph, how we have learned not only to survive, but to thrive through some of the worst seasons in our life. It was literally amazing. We had a great turnout. My apostle, my pastor, he envisioned that there would be 100 people. And I was like, I'm not sure if it's going to be that much, you know, maybe 40, 50, 60 at most. And we literally had, I think we literally sold that there were over 100 people. It was highly successful. The event was great. I had a wonderful time. It was really to see, to know the work that I had put in regarding the podcast, and to see that event come to fruition the way that it did was so overwhelming. It was so encouraging. It was wonderful. And so I'm just coming back to you off the heels of that. And there were so many people who had actually gotten up to say how they were affected by trauma and how they benefited from the conference. And so we began to actually go deeper into that thing. We started talking about how trauma affects your self-esteem, how it affects your outlook on life, and all of these different things. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to talk about this in my podcast as well. Just catch you guys up to speed about the progression of, you know, how this thing is going. I said before in one of my other videos that you're starting to see an uptick in people coming forward regarding their traumas, about the things that they've gone through or the things that they have experienced. And so I'm so grateful that there's such an awareness that's being spread. And because of that, I'm not going to stop, you know, doing what I know God has put in my heart for me to do. And I'm not going to stop doing what I know is helping people. But one of the things that that's been on my mind a lot is the fact that ever since the moment I began on, even on my socials before I actually started the podcast, but ever since I started to speak publicly about my trauma and the way that it has affected me, my life has literally faced many different obstacles. There's been several incidences where people have contacted me and telling me, you know, they were encouraged. I mean, and thank you for sharing your story, and thank you for, you know, spreading awareness and shedding light. But personally, like on a personal note, I have literally been under attack. I have literally been under attack ever since I decided to come forth with my story, ever since I initiated the podcast, ever since I began sharing on my socials. I've literally been under attack. I'm talking about mentally, physically, emotionally, personally. I've literally faced attacks in almost every area of my life. And I did not even realize it until the other day I sat with myself and I was like, it's been a rough couple months. It's literally been a rough couple months. I think the podcast launched in April of last year. And I'm thinking as the anniversary is approaching, I'm starting to think about the progress of the podcast and, you know, my development as well. But then I'm starting to think about the things that I've experienced since launching the podcast. And I'm like, if I'm honest, I've literally been under attack ever since I launched. There's been many positive things that have happened. Many people who've reached out to me saying that they were helped. Many instances were in which I was given the opportunity to either speak about trauma or pray about trauma or come about trauma. But personally, my life has literally been under attack. And I'm like, God, what is this? You know, we know that every time you endeavor to do something positive, but especially for the kingdom of God and any type of upward movement, you're going to face some sort of conflict, some sort of friction. There's going to be some sort of struggle. We know that. That's literally the way that life is. But when I took a moment to think about it, I was like, oh my. Like, I'm like, did I make myself more of a target? Because I think personally, which is what's going to lead me into today's episode, I think personally, I'm really, like, I'm an outgoing person, but not necessarily when it comes to my emotions. Like, I can go out and I can have fun and I can be forthwith, but emotionally, in some aspects, because of the trauma, I'm a little bit withdrawn. And so I can show up and give you the best of me without giving you, you know, all of my emotions, right? And so for me to come forth in the way that I have, that God has been leading me to, is so far out of my comfort zone. And naturally, after every event, after every episode, after every video I make, after every TikTok, naturally, I will, like a turtle, kind of retreat into my shell again. And I'm just like, okay, that was enough for me. It's been quite challenging, especially as I begin to talk about how things affected me emotionally, because I am at a point where I can talk about the things that happened. I can talk about the event, but it's another thing for me to talk about the effects, right? And I think that we need to understand that the event and the effects are two different things. And sometimes people make the mistake of thinking that because you can talk about the event, that you are no longer affected. Just because I'm able to talk about the event does not mean that I am no longer affected, does not mean that I am not still dealing with the effects of the event. And which leads me to my next point, is because I do realize we subconsciously have this idea that once you confess your issues or your problems or whatever is going on with you, that means that you should be able to get over it. I would challenge you to think of it this way. When you go to the doctor and you tell the doctor what your ailments are, you know, if you've bruised your arm and you're like, oh, you know, every time I lift it, my arm hurts. And when I turn it this way, it hurts. And it's, you know, it's black and blue here or whatever the case may be. You're just speaking of the symptoms. That does not necessarily mean that what's broken is automatically fixed. And telling what your ailments are, what your symptoms are, whatever it is that you're experiencing, it does not necessarily in that specific moment take away the pain of that broken arm. The break does not heal in confessing alone, but the break heals and it repairs with care. And with sometimes medicine and with sometimes rehabilitation. And so sometimes I think we live in a society in which just because someone says or comes out and says, I've been struggling with depression, or I've been struggling with this, or I've had a traumatic childhood, or, you know, these are the things that happened to me. We're looking for them to be 100% restored. I have just now been able to identify what it is that I was experiencing. If I'm honest, we as a culture, we as a society, we as a people are just now starting to develop language regarding what we've experienced, right? Like, I'm just now understanding that this is unresolved trauma. We're just now starting to be able to name what it is that we've experienced and how it has made us feel. And so you don't go from not even being able to identify and automatically recovering. That is not the process. And that's why I talk about it in this podcast. My tagline is helping others to identify, navigate, and then recover from traumatic experiences, right? Because I can identify that this hurts and this is where it hurts, but navigating it, how do I now live with this broken arm for the next couple of weeks? What do I have to do, you know, to make sure I don't re-injure it? What do I have to do to make sure I'm not triggering a tear or something else within the muscle? And I think that we're neglecting that. When people confess and they say, oh, this is what I've gone through, this is what I've experienced, that's step one. And we're confusing step one with step 10. It's a process. We develop these unrealistic expectations regarding people because we have not even allowed or given them the space and grace to acknowledge what they've gone through. There is such a wide and broad scope when it comes to addressing trauma, especially trauma that has come in the form of abuse, abandonment, rejection, or neglect. Those types of trauma, although they are as detrimental to the physical, to the mental, to the emotional system of a body, are just as detrimental as a car accident, as a death of a loved one. Although they are just as detrimental, they are different. And those types of traumas in my own experiences are so psychologically embedded within the soul that they're much harder to navigate and to escape from. The Bible says that they overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. It was and by their testimony. Sometimes you got to keep talking about it. Sometimes it's going to keep coming up, especially if it's been so deeply suppressed or embedded. You grew up in homes where there was a lack of communication, or people did not know how to properly speak to one another or listen. It's very difficult for someone to say, this is what I've gone through. And it's very difficult for that person to begin to address it. And so when somebody comes up and says, I've gone through this, I've experienced this, this is what I've gone, your next response should not be to get over it. I understand why we would want to meet them with a strength. My only concern is that sometimes we're meeting with force instead of grace. There's a power that is often undervalued that comes with addressing in grace and love. And you have to understand that for those people who have already been abused and misused and mishandled, who have been abandoned and rejected and neglected, you're working counterproductively. If I confess to you a weakness and the next thing you say to me is based off your inability to understand where I'm coming from in the first place, we do people a disservice when we are not willing to meet them with grace and love, all because we may not be able to relate or to identify with their types of trauma. And I just kind of want to speak to that. I want to speak to the fact that as I see more people coming out and I'm starting to hear certain sermons about trauma, I'm starting to hear, I see an uptick in some of the communications that are being posted by therapists and mental health experts and things. I'm starting to hear it in our society more and more. And I just want to say that there is a grace that I believe is being given to allow people to confess. There's a grace that is being ushered in the midst of us so that people have time to not only assess, but to identify and then navigate and recover. And there's a scripture in the Bible that talks about this man who was at the pool of Bethesda. He was paralyzed, and this was a miracle pool. Anyone who got into this pool were instantly healed from their ailment. And this man had been at this pool for 38 years waiting to be healed, right? And Jesus comes along one day, and the first thing that Jesus did was ask him, do you want to be healed? Do you want to be made whole? And I felt like God gave him space and grace to identify his trauma. He was giving him space to talk about it. The man said, I have nobody to put me here. And when the waters get stirred up as I'm going down there, somebody goes in before me. And whether or not the man's response was an excuse, he still gave him space to tell his story. Reading that text, I see that God listened to him, that he gave him a space to talk about it, right? And I feel like, are we giving people spaces to talk about what they've gone through? Are we giving people spaces to identify what their issues and their problems are? Are we giving people spaces that, or are we condemning them for not being able to heal themselves? There is a grave difference. And if healing is to come to people, perhaps we have to give people an opportunity to tell what it is that they have gone through. If we're really looking to help, if we're really looking to heal, and if we know that we have the ability to heal and to provide the answers that people need, are we coming in judgment, or are we coming with a grace that will allow for a space, for an opportunity? Jesus and the man's exchange seems to be have been very short, but there was enough of conversation that went on for the man to be able to identify what it is that he was experiencing. Not only did he get to confront the fact that he had been waiting for this healing for a long time, he also got an opportunity to confront why. He also got an opportunity to identify what his issue was and what was holding him back. And that's grace. That is the grace of God. I think we need to begin to prepare to be able to hear each other's stories, prepare to be able to hear the hearts of people, because there are things that are being said that we are not listening to all around us. You know, there are signs that point to people who are unwell. Sometimes when a tragedy happens, we say, oh, you know, they look so happy. They appear to be, you know, so full. And I'm not sure, you know, how they ended up in this particular situation. I don't know how they ended up in addiction. I don't know how they ended up, you know, dying by suicide. I don't understand that. I think that one of the issues is that we're not paying attention. There is a power that comes with confession, and there's a power that comes with grace. The listener has to learn grace, while the confessor has to learn transparency. Because even scientifically speaking, when you confess, when you tell the truth, when you're honest, when you're transparent, there is a part of your brain that actually alleviates stress based on you confessing, you telling your truth, right? Our brains are wired to aid us when we tell the truth. For instance, the left side of the brain, which is responsible for language skills, and then the right side of the brain, which is responsible for attention, memory, and problem solving, work together. So that when you confess, right, when you tell your truth, when you're transparent, when you're honest, the left side of the brain actually sends signals to the right side of the brain, which work together to allow the right side of the brain to alleviate or to assist you in problem solving. And so that when I have an issue, whether it be deep-seated, whether it be surface level, whether it be traumatic, whether it be something that happened several years ago, regardless of how and when it happened, when I confess, when I am allowed the space and the grace to confess and to tell and to speak about that, I'm actually helping my brain, or my brain is actually helping me to heal. So to me, that translates that we as a people have to begin to understand the power of grace, the power in listening, and the power in confessing. I have to be honest with you, but you also have to develop the capacity to hear me, to listen to me. How many times have we been in a situation, have I been in a situation where someone has been talking to me and I can hear them, obviously, because I have audible functioning in my ears, but I have not listened to them, right? I haven't listened with grace, I haven't listened with compassion, and maybe I have not even listened to understand. Perhaps I've listened to respond. And I think if this next move of healing is to take place in our society, in our homes, in our families, in our cultures, we're going to have to be able to develop the ability to listen. And to listen, not to respond, but to listen to understand. Because when you understand something, you change. If I understand that something is bothering you, or you're hurting, you need help, and I love you, that's going to motivate me to help you change. But if I'm listening to respond, I don't care anything about what you're saying. I just care to be heard, or to be able to get off what I need to say. Is one of the purposes in which God is beginning to raise people up and telling their stories. You know, there was a lot of flack, but I believe that one of the reasons that God is even allowing certain initiatives like that to be brought to the forefront is because we need to talk. We literally, as a people, as a race, as a society, we need to sit down and we need to talk. We need conversation. We need conversation. For too long, so many things have gone on in families and societies and homes and churches and schools and neighborhoods and government and legislation, all across the world. Things have gone on because of things that have not been addressed, that have not been spoken of, that have not been said. We literally need to talk. I feel like, and this is going to be like a cheesy metaphor, I feel like if God had, and I know this is going to sound, I feel like this is going to sound like sacrilegious, and I don't mean it in a disrespectful way, but if God had a favorite R&B song, I feel like it would be.
Okay, guys, so I'm actually going to stop here. Like, put a bookmark on this episode. Make sure you save this episode because I'm actually going to come back with part two next week. And if you don't already follow me on my socials, be sure to follow me on YouTube, TikTok, Instagram, and Facebook so that you are alerted when the next episode comes out or is published. Typically, I do a preview on my social show. If you follow me, you'll be able to get first dibs and listen first. I am Miss Eve on all my socials, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. On YouTube, you can find also the Triumph Over Trauma podcast channel as well. Guys, thanks so much for tuning in. Until next time, remember our key scripture, which is the basis in which the podcast is founded, 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now, thanks be unto God who always causes us to triumph. Bye.
Your capacity is very limited for whatever the reason. Maybe it's due to other traumas, whatever it may be, but it's very, very limited.